apologize. Welcome. Oh, we should come back into order. Are we on?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Welcome to St. Paul City Council. We've told the other candidates this, that it's 15 minutes to speak. We are accepting, unless it's different, correct us, but we're accepting the fact that you live in Ward 7 and that if you're appointed, you won't be running in the general election.
Correct.
So if you want to spend the first couple minutes telling us why you want the position, then we'll jump in and ask some questions. And with 15 minutes, at about a minute left or as close to a minute as possible, I'll try and cut it off and let you have a closing argument or final thought or anything like that. With that, the floor is yours and you have 15 minutes and the timer is right there and it doesn't stop when we ask questions. It's just going to go straight through. So.
Okay, so I have about 15 minutes from when I start.
Exactly.
Okay, thank you. First, I want to thank you for this opportunity. If nothing else, it's 15 minutes to kind of come and talk about St. Paul, which is awesome for me. So thank you. It's also a little bit nerve-wracking. Councilmember Lantry, I remember her door knocking when I was growing up on the east side up by Beaver Lake. So a lot of years of service. So it's a little bit filling in for her, if you will, even temporary, is kind of a little bit nerve-wracking. But the reasons why I am seeking this position is really twofold. First, if I were actually running, if I were to be running, I would want, or asking somebody why they would want this position, I would really want to know that they're going to be effective, that they're going to fill the seat. I think that's the not just fill the seat, but actually perform well and get tasks done. And I think that given my experience, I'm able to step in and, like I said, not just be a seat filler, but I believe that I can actually contribute to the council. I do come. So that would be the two answers, or I want to answer that twofold. If I were running, I would want to know that the person would be effective in that position. I think I would be. I also come here at, as I'm sure all of you are, I believe firmly in the idea of service. Honestly, I'm not really good at saying no. My neighbors, some other folks and friends that live in Ward 7, Battle Creek, Mounds Park, where I live, they've encouraged me to do this. So, but I also understand that there's certain sacrifices at hand here. I have a great position at the state. I work in an IT role for MnDOT, and quite honestly, I love my position. Anything that you can like about a job, it's there. I have a path towards promotions. They give me a number of tasks that challenge me. Compensation will eventually be pretty decent. It's just a good work environment. I like my coworkers. So I come here at sacrifice. I come here at the sacrifice of that. But like I said, I really believe in the idea of service and that I think I won't just be bridging the gap, so to speak. I'll be doing so effectively. And my second question, I think I'll really kind of start to illustrate some of the reasons why I would be effective in this position, some of the skill sets that I bring.
Councilmember Thune?
Can you give us an example of like a citywide issue that you work hard on and maybe one or two, if you want, local east side Ward 7 issues that you think are really important?
Well, currently I've been the chair of the Parks Board for about 2.5 years. And there's any number of issues that are relevant right now to Ward 7 with that. Namely, we had to help scrutinize the management contract for the Conway Recreation Center. Emerald ash borer is an ongoing issue throughout the city. A lot of people have a very strong affinity towards towards the trees in their neighborhood, and the idea, my parents were one of them, the idea that those are going to be gone is a huge thing. The Parks Board has been very active in doing what we think is the best job towards informing you about that and kind of scrutinizing the policies when we have the opportunity to do so. In a broader sense, outside of St. Paul, I'm also active in our union at work, and we are actually, it's kind of a big topic because it could potentially, some of the things that we'd like to incorporate would include contract changes, but we are forming a board that is going to be looking at different ways of compensation in the union, other than just your standard wage and step increases and time spent. So the Parks Board, I think, directly and, you know, speaks to some of the things that I'm involved with in St. Paul. But also, like, the skills of negotiating, like I said, helping with the compensation and stuff at the statewide level. Those skills can be applied towards this position.
Councilmember Stern.
Yeah, I was just curious, Andrew, I've asked all the candidates this, what your actual availability would be in terms of the time you could commit to the role between March and December. Council has historically been a part-time role. Some of us treat it differently than that. Just curious what your situation would be.
I would be seeking a leave of absence from my position to do this. I'll tell you that right out. I'm not certain if, like I said, sacrifice. I understand, as we all do, I'm sure. I'll sacrifice to be here. I'm not certain without that leave of absence if I will be able to take this role. If I am able to, and I was talking with my boss today, and they seem pretty optimistic, and actually our contract language does seem to support me being able to take a leave of absence. So if I do, I would be able to devote wholeheartedly time to this. It would be my job.
One question I've also asked this to all the candidates, but you know, you'd be elected by six people who don't live in Ward 7. How do you view yourself in the role as the council member? Do you see yourself kind of keeping the seat warm for Kat in the interim, or would you have an agenda if you got on, or how would you represent the ward?
Well, in a way, it's kind of nice to step into the position this way, because I don't have to seek party endorsements or anything like that. So I'm really not tied to anything. I also, you know, I've talked greatly about it, about being able to step in and be effective and help out day one. I really believe that I can. But I'm not naive. I know any job has a learning curve to it, and I expect that this would have even a much higher learning curve. I mean, I work in IT at the state, and I can say that there's parts of it that it took a year until I can say that I was really effective, and that's so I would really be leaning on you folks to, because I'm not tied to any political endorsements or anything like that. So I would really be leaning on you to kind of help me to be effective.
Councilmember Bradman.
Can you talk for just a moment about in your ward, the Gateway Corridor and the Red Rock Corridor are major projects that are under study. What's your knowledge of those, and what are your thoughts in terms of moving that forward in the next 10 to 11?
Well, the biggest thing that I've heard input about in my neighborhood is people kind of wholeheartedly support the Red Rock line and other LRT projects. They just really do. I really don't hear much scrutiny on that. The Gateway Corridor gets a lot more attention, especially the placement of the bus terminals kind of down towards Maria Avenue, more in the Dayton's Bluff, or excuse me. Yeah, that would be Dayton's Bluff. Those, a lot of people are concerned about the safety because cars pile right off onto the road there, that it's 61 actually. People pile off there really quickly. I live in a neighborhood that has a lot of kids, so they're worried about if they have to take the bus, having these cars fly by. So they've really wanted to push it up more towards kind of the Third Street option. So that's my involvement. I'd like to see that just because people are in my neighborhood are really concerned about it.
Thank you.
Councilmember Tal.
What is your definition? It's a two-part question. So what is your definition of male privilege? And the other would be, what is your definition of white privilege?
It's an interesting question. My definition of white privilege is that, I'm going to think about this for just a second. Before I answer that, I want to say opportunity. And I think that that's kind of become a big, even at the national level, from the White House, the concept of access to opportunity. That's really, in my opinion, politically, biggest topic that's going on right now. Things like the Ferguson problems and everything. People can say that's because of low minority numbers in the police force, but it also speaks to opportunity. Is there adequate opportunities for minority folks to apply for that, for police positions? I've always said that, you know, opportunity in general and the pursuit of that is the most defining thing that policies have to be addressing right now. Law has to be addressing. So to talk about white privilege, I work in data and I see the statistics, and I can tell you that categorically, be it schools, jobs, etc., white people still have better access to opportunity than minorities. So I would also frame the minority disadvantage. Sorry, I mixed up your term. I see that as just the flip side of the coin. We need to figure out how to increase opportunity and the access to it.
One question I had is, I see that you're head of the park board. I think if you were appointed to this, you'd have to give that up, or are you willing to, would you give that position up or resign from that position?
I'd actually be excited. There's a number of people that are very qualified. In fact, that's one of the reasons that I agreed to be the chair, is that to lead a group like that, that is dedicated and knowledgeable. I mean, you should... If you get the opportunity to come to one of our meetings, you should really hear how we scrutinize what's asked of us. So it'd be fun to see that go into somebody else's hands, because I know it's going to fall in capable hands.
I appreciate the work you've done on it. I've been to the commission meetings a couple of times, asking for support, at least.
Yes.
Well led.
Well, thanks. Learning how to conduct a meeting is a skill unto itself.
Councilmember Bastrom?
I would just ask you, what do you see right now as two of the most pressing or important issues in the city of St. Paul facing citizens and decision makers?
Well, one, and it's not in Ward 7, I think that the Ford site is just a huge opportunity for the city. So I would say that. And the other thing is, in my side of town, Gateway Corridor and other, we're just drowning in transportation projects over there. Some of them are MnDOT But we're just absolutely drowning projects over there, just so to make sure that those are done well. The Rush Line, Red Rock Line, the possible streetcars down West 7th, implementation of the bike plan, 35W's wrapping up, the Bruce Vento Trail as it's going to link by the CHS field, Third Street Bridge, all these things.
Just to let you know, you got about 30 seconds left if you want to kind of give us a closing or whatever, final words.
I kind of want to cycle back to your question, Councilmember Thune, and I want to just stress that I've got a lot of experience in kind of collaborating and grabbing groups that are disparate and but have some sort of common purpose. And in that, I want to say that I helped kick off the planning for a trail between the city of Mankato and St. Peter when I was down there. It involves three counties, three cities, public advocacy groups, private business, et cetera. So I always am savvy, and I always try to find a home if there's a good project and some sort of champion to take on those projects.
Thank you very much for coming before us, and we'll be in contact with you once the council reaches a decision. So thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
And that concludes all of our candidates. Anything anyone wants to add? All right.
I'd like to hear Di's definition of privilege.
So how do we proceed, and when do we cast the vote on who?
Why?
Tentatively, we have an agenda item for the 25th. Is that right?
Right. Resolution without a name in it.
That's 2 weeks from today.
Yeah. So if people want to think about if they have favorites or whatever, we'll see if there's a council consensus. And then
if there's a consensus, how soon we want to make it public?
I think as soon as we have a consensus, I mean, but the resolution we'll do on the 25th, but we could.
Right, and I think we want to respect the open meeting law, so we could put the resolution in for next Wednesday with a blank, and then Councilmember Tolbert could nominate somebody, and you all could discuss and then agree and move forward and appoint next week, having it effective March 1st. And after the swearing in on March 4th.
That doesn't sound like a bad idea. I hate keeping secrets for so long.
Yeah.
Well, we can't. We can't.
We can't.
Oh, stop it.
I hate pretending to keep secrets for so long.
obviously.
If for whatever reason there wasn't
consensus, we can lay it over.
Lay it over.
But you're not saying that we're not violating open meetings. You're doing like a basically a head count to determine where we're at, and if it's unanimous,
since
then
you're sharing this, ask us individually.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I mean, essentially, that's what we're clarifying. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, and so put it in with a blank for next week, and if we can fill it in, I'll just do a sec. We can amend it or however we need to do it, and plus giving people time to plan their lives if they have to leave a job or whatever it may be.
Right.
So when would you contact with the recommendation, the motion that you would
make? You should contact me.
No, how are we going to contact the applicant?
Yeah. Well, I think we should let them know ahead. I think we should let them know ahead of time.
That their name is being brought forward?
Yeah. Make sure they want to do it, too, before we put it in there. They might change their mind after seeing us.
Right, as vice president.
Yeah. So would you tell the others? Two at the same time?
I think so.
Or do they have to see it on TV? It'd be nicer to tell them.
I think the plan would be to contact all the people who applied before.
So maybe the night before. Or something. Say, hey, I'm planning to bring in a recommendation.
Yeah. Sound good?
That's terrific.
Well done.
Well, actually, what we could do, I suppose, is you could just take a piece of paper. Anybody could take a piece of paper and write a name down on it.
And pass it to me?
I'll do it.
Yeah, why don't you guys do that?
At least.
No.
That is illegal.
No. I'm not suggesting that would be done here. But at some point, something, nobody's going to do that here. But if people have an idea that they might want to drop off with Trudy or the chair, I don't know if there would be anything proper about that because you aren't sitting down.
I think
Don't let him in.
The sixth candidate appears. Do you think any of us would be willing to subject ourselves to those questions?
No.
Dave, go sit over there. I'd love to grill you. I'd love to grill you over there.
Oh, that looks nerve-wracking.
Let's take turns. Let's do it.
It'd be really tough.
Do you want to adjourn?
Yeah. So we'll make a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Okay.